Hello, and welcome to Beyond the Gates. I'm Annette Kirkland. This season, we're talking about 7 Labs, 1 Erdc. Discover the power of Erdc's 7 laboratories as they bring their technical expertise to solve the nation's toughest challenges, from developing technologies that support the warfighter to improving the civil work systems we rely on each day. See how each of these 7 labs play a unique role in engineering a safer, better world. This morning, I have with me 2 guests, Dr. Austin Davis, he's a technical director, and Sarah Eckley, communication specialist for the Geospatial Research Laboratory, otherwise known as GRL. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Good morning.
How are y'all this morning?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Doing great. I'm so glad you guys are on the show this morning. And we're going to start off with my favorite question. Could you tell me about yourselves, your background, and explain your roles at GRL?
Yeah, so I'll start off. I'm Sarah Eckley, and I've been a part of Erdc for nearly 12 years now. I feel like I blinked, and here we are over a decade later. My journey here actually began during my college days as a Pathways program intern. So I would spend a lot of my school breaks working here at GRL, gaining hands-on experience and a lot of just civil service type of knowledge. And after graduating with my degree in communications and a minor in leadership and dance from Christopher Newport University, I transitioned into a more permanent role here at GRL and have since grown through various positions over the years. And it's ultimately led me to my most recent appointment as the Strategic Communications Officer. And kind of in simple terms, for my mission of this role is just to ensure I get the right information to the right people at the right time, and all while supporting our incredible researchers here as well as our senior leadership.
Okay. And we've worked together a lot over the years.
Yes, we have, through that communications PAO type of hat. And so you know what it's like when you wear different hats and different roles.
Absolutely. Okay, great. Dr. Davis?
Yeah, good morning. So I'm Austin Davis. I suppose probably like many of your listeners, I was very curious about the world as a kid, and that led to a career in geoscience and remote sensing. And these technologies and these technical disciplines are cool because they help us identify, patterns in landscape and help us, make maps that are important and help us understand the world and, how things work. I suspect many of us can also relate to that feeling of being lost and, not knowing where you are. And, I remember as a kid, those times where it's like, oh, you go on a road trip before, all the digital maps existed and, have to print out your MapQuest directions and things. But, having that map can be, really helpful. And, I think in the modern era, we have all these digital maps and, all these kinds of analytics that help us understand more and more about places and terrain and, make unfamiliar places more familiar to us. And that, I think, is really the value that, geospatial science and sort of the profession that I've been in, really provide. And, these two themes of, bringing scientists and soldiers together and also, using maps to, understand more about the world, really, I think, highlight, a lot of, my career. So originally I'm from Clinton, Mississippi, so right down the road there from Vicksburg.
Austin, I did not know that.
Yeah, okay. I went to Mississippi State.
Okay.
I've been really fortunate to have great mentors at Erdc, and have grown my career first in the environmental lab, then the geotechnical and structures lab, and then now finally at a GRL, I guess almost 16 years later.
Okay.
Where I'm the current technical director. And so in my current role, I oversee the program of the lab, the products that our research staff make that really provide the true contributions that the lab is capable of. And then also many of our strategic partnerships. Sarah helps, with that as well, and we work together on that. So, it's been a really cool place to be so far.
Great. I've just a side note, my husband and I were on a trip this past weekend, and we talked about the whole map thing, because I remember as a kid trying to help my parents, turn here. I was so bad at reading a map. It was terrible. So, you know, we're all very, so used to now something telling us where to go and what to do. So, So for our listeners who might not be familiar with your lab, how would you describe the overall mission of GRL?
Yeah, so I'll take this one. I would say the bottom line for the overall mission is GRL is here to innovate solutions to give our soldiers the best possible, you know, situational awareness for the battlefield, but also we solve problems for our nation too. So I'd like to think of our researchers here as just like the ultimate map people, but they just go so far beyond roads and rivers, and they characterize both physical terrain as well as social and cultural environment of a battlefield. So, for example, if a military unit is deploying, they need to know everything about that environment. Right. And the researchers here, they develop, you know, the methods and whatnot to measure and analyze all of that data so our soldiers can make fast, accurate decisions. And what's also really cool is we don't just do strictly overseas combat operation, you know, assistance. We also have a lot of civil works efforts that we do alongside USAIS. So GRL applies that exact same cutting edge spatial analysis to support environmental protection initiatives as well as disaster response. And I know we'll probably get into that later on in this discussion, but that same technology is also what helps squads to, you know, navigate foreign terrain, can also help emergency responders and do hurricane damage here at home on our home front.
Great, great. So GRL, if in case anyone doesn't know this, is located in Alexandria, Virginia, with the Army Geospatial Center. How does this unique footprint help GRL act as a bridge between ERTC 7 labs and the broader Army intelligence and engineering communities?
Yeah, so I can take this one. I guess it's important to really recognize that, you know, when it comes to map making and providing, you know, this ability to have situational awareness, you know, that's a force-wide activity that has to span the whole scope of the Army. It's not just for, you know, one soldier or a small group or just one part of the Army. And when you think about like how large the Army is and its diversity of missions and activities and things it's asked to do, you know, being able to provide the right map that has, you know, current information captured in it, because the landscape's always changing a little bit, sometimes a lot in a short period of time, and making sure we can reflect those changes, you know, is important. And so when we talk about, you know, what geospatial is, we're talking about that idea, you know, most of the time of, you know, this understanding of place and how different things, you know, relate to each other sort of, you know, on the landscape. And as if we get that right, you know, if soldiers can get that right and they can be provided the tools that they need to get that right, it really underpins all kinds of decision making. It enables geointelligence, you know, understanding you know, specific features and, you know, are they hostile or not? It can help with, you know, construction planning and, you know, where it might make sense to, you know, place a structure or not place a structure. How we as an Army move over terrain or, you know, put, you know, place artillery on that terrain, and how we fight and how we, you know, assist folks in that, you know, humanitarian assistance that Sarah just mentioned. Being co-located here with the Army Geospatial Center is important because they really represent that, you know, more operational, you know, reach back support for a lot of these capabilities, both on the warfighter support side and then also, you know, the way the Army procures technology. You know, Army Geospatial Center embeds a lot of subject matter experts in what we call, you know, capability program executives. You know, which are the different organizations in the Army that, you know, procure new technology and field those things to soldiers. And so as a group, holistically, you know, we work together to make sure our soldiers, you know, have the best, you know, understanding of, you know, wherever they're being asked to go in the world. Because it's often said the Army, you know, the Army fights an away game. You know, we're not fighting here at home. And so right. Making sure that they understand these faraway places, you know, like it's their own backyard is super critical. And, you know, the technologies that we're delivering are really the bedrock for how they're able to do that.
Right, right, exactly. So next question. The theme of our show this season is discovering the power of Erdc 7 Labs, united to solve challenges. Can you provide an example of how GRL has partnered with another Erdc lab to tackle a challenge that neither could have solved alone?
Yeah, so cross-laboratory collaboration with Erdc is huge, and I would imagine every other lab would agree with that. So specifically integrating GRL's geospatial capabilities with other labs has definitely been a fundamental driver of our multidimensional science discovery, I would say. So breaking down those research silos has allowed a lot of our investigators and PMs to fuse our spatial intelligence with other science materials, environmental modeling, structural engineering to solve a lot of the complex challenges at the foundational level. So a lot of that stuff, we've also started with like our basic research collaboration among labs, and just working alongside our sister labs has definitely been able to quite simply, sounds cheesy, but like we're stronger together, you know?
It's not cheesy because it's true.
Yeah, I feel like what we bring to the table is so important, but we also need our sister labs to fill out the rest of the table and kind of make that a more well-rounded, successful way to solve our challenges. So another example is GRL has worked alongside EL, CREL, CHL, CERL to tackle a massive multi-million-dollar maintenance headache of our dams and levees, using a technology called the Relief Well Sustainment Deployable Resilient Installation Water Purification and Treatment System. Try saying that a couple times fast.
Is there an acronym for that?
So RWS.
Okay. there you go. I figured there was an, yep. There's an acronym. There's an acronym with everything. So,
you know what? Absolutely. And sometimes they mean different things, which can get a little confusing.
But, exactly.
So, but GRL would not have been able to solve this without the other labs. And so they were able to completely re-image a system. So instead of hauling toxic chemicals, the drip system generates its own high-strength gas-fused bleach right on site using nothing but simple table water and or table salt and water. Mm-hmm. So by combining GRL's tactical deployable engineering with other labs with world-class expertise, we've been able to solve a maintenance problem, creating, you know, safer, cheaper, and a greener way to protect our nation's critical infrastructure. So I mean, these are just a couple of examples, but, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure Austin probably has other ones as well of just cross-laboratory efforts that have been able to be carried out. And it's because of our diverse expertise here at Erdc with our other labs that we've been able to succeed with that.
Exactly. So a key pillar of Erdc's mission is geospatial engineering. How does GRL use terrain analysis and mapping to give our soldiers an edge? And why is this so important?
So, yeah, I mean, I think if we think about what geospatial engineering is, you know, in the Army, it's a very small, it's done by a very small number of soldiers that are known as geospatial engineers, geospatial engineering technicians. You know, they're mostly NCOs, some warrant officers as well. And yet, it represents a small portion of, you know, the Corps of Engineers as a, you know, part of the Army. And yet, you know, those few soldiers are responsible for providing, you know, that map and that understanding of, you know, what the landscape looks like, what the terrain is, you know, what the risks on that terrain are to support any type of mission or operation. You know, they're responsible for that, not just, you know, for the engineers, but for the entire force, for the maneuver force, for protection planning, for, you know, intelligence, for fires, you know, all kinds of different activities. And then, you know, the Army is, you know, the nation's, you know, land domain force, but, you know, being able to provide that map, you know, across all the services for our combatant commands. You know, that's really, and our partners as well, making sure that we can connect and have interoperability with our allies when it comes to, you know, understanding where things are is super critical. And that's really, I think, the role that geospatial engineering plays. And through that, our force is, made more lethal because they understand where they are. It makes it safer because, they can identify threats and, position, resources and people more effectively on those landscapes and just overall make, better decisions.
Right. So important. But one of the toughest challenges facing our military today is operating in GPS denied environments. So why is that such a problem, and what is GRL doing about it?
Yeah, I think that's a really critical question right now. So GPS is such a strategic national asset, and if you lose GPS, you're kind of screwed. You know, you lose your operational dominance, and so that's kind of where GRL is stepping in for that. And their approach is pretty brilliant. So, because GPS relies on a vulnerable radio frequency, GRL is developing solutions that use a visual terrain mapping instead. So, for example, GRL has created a software that runs directly on the standard issue smartphone. So soldiers they already carry that. So if GPS goes down, a soldier can just use the camera's the phone's camera to capture imagery of their surroundings, and GRL software matches that horizon against a localized database right there on the device to pinpoint their exact location. And they were able to test this out recently at Fort Bliss, and using this technology, the soldiers were able to figure out their position without losing a drop of a GPS signal. So in a denied environment, that's pretty outstanding.
That is amazing.
Yeah. And I think they're also trying to integrate with CHL right now to look at Army watercraft and allowing ships to navigate simply by reading shoreline features using that technology. So to sum it up, GRL is trying to work ground, sea, and air, I think, at some point to defeat that GPS jamming. And they're using it with native sensors, so like cameras that are already on soldiers and vehicles, and that's solving a massive tactical problem without adding additional cost or weight to the mission.
Wow, that's great. So, okay, transitioning to civil works, what kind of technology does GRL have that improves disaster response?
One of the cool things about, working in the science and technology space is that many of the technologies that, we develop for one type of application are useful for another, and the expertise that we develop doing one application can apply to, other kinds of problems as well. So one example of that is, we have some really great, talented research staff that develop new ways to perform battle damage assessment and look at, how physical structure changes, on the landscape as, it's attacked or is degraded in some other way. And when we think about civil works, the Army's often, or the Corps of Engineers, rather, is often activated, to provide engineering support services in times of crisis and after natural disasters. And so our, research staff were able to, pretty rapidly adapt many of those same approaches to understanding battle damage, to understanding, what structures might be damaged, by hurricanes or wildfires, and, the differences in the debris that's created because the Corps of Engineers is often, asked to respond to a national debris mission of some type. And so it's also kind of interesting, right, that debris is not the same depending on the natural disaster that may have caused it. So, in a wildfire, those structures are burning, and so you have ash piles, and that's a very different type of debris than perhaps in a hurricane where maybe you had a flood and you just have these, piles of just stuff,
right.
That, maybe hasn't burned, right? And so it's a bit different. But we were able to, work with our other Corps of Engineers partners, you know, our FEMA partners, in response to, you know, some of the recent wildfires, you know, in the past, the ones in Maui, the ones in Los Angeles. So we were able to rapidly support the Corps when Hurricane Helene hit and, you know, affected the southern Appalachians and, you know, had all the flooding and, you know, all the terrible damage that happened there. To be able to provide a map and some type of assessment very quickly, especially in areas where, you know, roads were washed out and data availability might not be great and, you know, people are just trying to get a sense of, you know, what happened, to then figure out, okay, well, now that we know what happened, you know, what does that mean that we need to do and, you know, how can we, you know, recover from this, these kinds of tragedies. So I think, you know, when we kind of look across GRL, there's other places where we've added value for, you know, civil works as well. If it, you know, using remote sensing technologies to understand vegetation health and inform, you know, environmental you know, restoration activities and those kinds of things, or, you know, advancing technologies that are helpful to mapping, you know, bathymetry with, you know, or topography with different types of LIDAR technology. So, you know, the way that works is, you know, light is emitted, it bounces off surface and is received again. And through that, you can build up these sort of 3D models and 3D maps. And so, you know, there's all kinds of, or digital twins is another one,
right,
using, you know, technologies to map the insides of structures, the outside of structures. You know, those can be used to understand how those structures behave or if they may be failing, or, you know, we can sort of virtually, you know, improve them through modeling and simulation before we ever go make a physical real world modification. And go through those processes, you know, that it buys down a lot of risk and, you know, over time. So, yeah, there's certainly so many ways I think that, you know, the technology has value both on the warfighting side and, you know, in support of the nation here on the homeland as well.
Absolutely. And so engineering a secure and resilient future is another central focus of our show this season. What does the concept of resiliency mean in your lab, and how important is that to your research?
Yeah, it's a really great question. Actually, Austin and I talked last week about this question and how important it is, but also what it means to us. And, you know, resiliency is definitely about anticipating that disruption and building a system that can bounce back from it or keep operating, you know, no matter what's thrown at it. And a real world example of this at GRL is a digital buoy system developed and patented right here by one of our own computer scientists, Mr. Alex Lee. And
He's been on the show before.
Yes, yes. Alex is great. And what his work has done is so fascinating. So right now, the U.S. Coast Guard and the Corps of Engineers maintain over 12,000 physical buoys across our inland waterways. And they basically act as street signs and stoplights for our rivers. But in the real world, rivers flood, currents drag, buoys drift. So when a buoy drifts, navigation becomes pretty dangerous, and finding and resetting them can be slow and pretty costly. And that's where GRL's digital buoy technology has come in. So by integrating a smart sensor with a low bandwidth communication directly onto the buoy, we've been able to create a self-reporting mesh network. So for example, if a buoy drifts off course, it automatically alerts land-based monitors in real time so it can be corrected. Another one is if a river condition changes suddenly, we can push an emergency chart update and safety notices directly onto the local mariners right through the buoy network. So I'd say that's a pretty good definition of resiliency, taking an age-old physical infrastructure and turning it into a smart, rugged aspect with a secure communication web. And I think working from the ground up with our engineering aspects is what's been resilient.
Perfect. That's exactly what we needed to know. So GRL utilizes some incredibly advanced technology like LIDAR and the Geospatial Imaging Laboratory. How does this highly specialized technical expertise help ERDC as a whole tackle problems that others cannot?
Yeah, so I guess If we think about 3D, I think, you know, many folks, if they've used, you know, Google Earth or many of the other products out there that, you know, can show, you know, the 3D buildings in a city maybe, and the, you know, satellite imagery might be draped on top of it. That's what we tend to refer to as 2.5D mapping, whereas full 3D is not only that sort of exterior shell, but it's all, like, if you imagine a skyscraper, it's all the interior rooms and, you know, all of the 3D aspects of that building and maybe utility infrastructure, and is there a subway tunnel underneath it, and is there a tree in the atrium? You know, it's really having that complete picture. And LIDAR is a great way to collect a lot of 3D data. You know, small robots and things or handheld devices can be used inside structures to map those spaces. But, you know, outside a structure, either from, you know, drones or airplanes or, you know, other platforms can collect, you know, LIDAR. But traditionally, LIDAR collection, you know, airborne LIDAR collection, you have an airplane that basically flies directly over what you're trying to map, and it's fairly slow-moving airplane that flies at a fairly low altitude, and you're using that type of technology in a dangerous situation or a conflict zone is not, you know, particularly, you know, survivable idea. And so what we've really pioneered with, you know, many of the great researchers here is extending that standoff dramatically and pushing the limits of, you know, long standoff LIDAR collection and, you know, being able to create space between a hazard and, you know, how we are collecting that data and how we're developing that map, which provides a lot of options, you know, for the Army to use. And there's actually, there'll probably be a really cool demo here in the next year or so where we get some of those, that new capability sort of showcased, you know, in a very high altitude launch that we're very excited about in demonstration. But for the geospatial imaging lab itself, so, you know, if you're going to be in the LIDAR business, and you know, we're in the LIDAR space, and we work with, you know, a variety of partners, and those partners come to us, industry partners, other federal partners, they come to us for, you know, our team's expertise in image formation at distance. It's hard to do, especially with some of the fairly exquisite technologies that we're using. But we needed a space where, you know, that team could really thrive. And so they previously were working in this very small optics lab. It was a tiny little, almost like a closet, basically. And now they have a fairly large large room with several optics benches and lots of different devices. And, you know, they have mission partners, you know, in the space right next door to them. So they're easily able to, you know, interact with, you know, other, you know, key personnel that work in that space and advance the technology together, you know, as a group, not just, you know, GRL doing its own thing, but as part of a broader effort.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think, that's really,
that's the sum of it, right?
that facility. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. So, okay. Looking ahead, are there any key takeaways that you want our listeners to understand about the importance of the work being done at GRL?
Yeah. So I'll go first on this one. I think, if I have to boil it down, I would just want them to know, you know, what we do is critical to both national security, but also our everyday lives. And what we do is not exclusively about overseas conflict. And Austin already touched on this, but the same spatial analysis and 3D mapping technology that protects our warfighters is also actively, you know, being used here at home to guide emergency response and civil infrastructure projects. So ultimately, I think GRL is directly adding an immense amount of value both to the warfighter and to our nation. And I feel really lucky that I get to work here and get to work alongside these awesome researchers that, you know, make our world a safer, better place.
Awesome. Austin?
Yeah, and I would add, I really think we're about empowering people. You know, mm-hmm. We're about empowering soldiers to understand more about the world that they're asked to, you know, do a mission in. And
right.
we're about empowering the scientists that work in our organization, the engineers that work in our organization to, you'll really pioneer new technology and advance the state of the art and figure out what the next art of the possible is really going to look like. And, you know, use that to help our army, you know, be more lethal, be safer in how it, you know, conducts its activities, but also solve really hard problems that, you know, the nation faces here in the homeland. I think, you know, that's really where the true value, I think, of the ERDC, where it lies is collectively across the seven labs, not just at GRL, but is our ability to, you know, empower people to make an impact and make a difference.
Well, you just said a very impactful statement because this was the last show of this season. So that being said, that was just a great way to sum up this season and actually what ERDC is about. So thank you for that. and also thank you guys for what you do to protect our nation. It is so super important and people are learning more and more about that. So thank you, Austin. And thank you, Sarah, for being on the show today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you for listening to Beyond the Gates. Be sure to tune in next week for a very educational show about ERDC. Have a great day.